Okay, so we are in Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet, Amud Aleph. I don't know if it's really worthwhile going through each line in this Agadita. I think we're up to, last time we learned, we spoke about Mispala B'Shlomo Shel Malchus very briefly, which is the end of the skinny lines. The Gemara has some questions as about whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears very strong, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not appear strong. So the Gemara distinguishes between Shas Hadin and Shas Melchama. Shas Melchama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears strong. The Gemara has a question as to whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu has anger or not. So the Gemara answers, it depends. Kan be Yisrael, kan be Ovdei Kochavim. And then the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu perhaps no longer has anger because he took a Shavua not to have anger. And then, like in the sixth line, the Gemara says, "V'hainu d'amir Rabbi Achsandri, my dechsiv, etc." Now, Rashi and Tosis disagree about how to understand this line in the Gemara. According to Rashi, "V'hainu d'Rabbi Achsandri" is going on the previous Gemara. In other words, we learned on Daf Gimel in Avodah Zarah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to deceive the nations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them one mitzvah, la'asad lavo, in order that they should have an opportunity to get into the world to come. And this idea, says Rashi, understanding the Gemara, is what Rabbi Alexandri says, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will investigate the goyim and will not destroy them unless he proves that they actually didn't keep their end of the bargain. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos, Dibar Maskil B'Hayinu, has a different take on the situation. Tosfos says that Rabbeinu Tam says, no, this idea that we said earlier, that whether or not HaKadosh Baruch Hu has anger depends on Kan B'Yisrael, Kan B'Umos Olam, so what that means is the same idea as Rab Alexandri says, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't find any zechus for the goyim, he will destroy them, because by Umos HaOlam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy them. Okay, fine. That's basically the main point in this Gemara. And let's skip to the Gemara. It's around 10 lines before the lines get wide. Mishtabeach luhu rebavahu. You see, there's narrow lines, medium wide lines, and very wide lines. Around 10 lines before the lines get very wide, we have this thing about Mishtabeach. You see it? It's the third word in the line. Yeah. Everyone has the place. Okay, Zok the Gemara. Mishtabeach lo rebavahu lemini Rav Safra. By the way, I also don't call on you to read, not because reading is not important, but because, A, I'm worried about Chas V'Shalom insulting or embarrassing somebody, and B, we have a limited amount of time in Shiur. So on those rare days when I actually make it to Seder, if people would be interested in reading some Gemara with me, we could do that. All the guys in Smicha hate me because I make them read. No one else in Yeshiva makes anyone read, and that's why my Bechinas are supposed to be very hard, or so the guys say, because I actually make them read Gemara, and sometimes guys are very good conceptually, but they can't really read. Some guys actually know how to read. If you're interested, and I'm drunk, maybe I'll tell you who's who. But that's a different story. Okay, so Zakti Gemara. Mishtabeach lehu. I probably am not allowed to, actually. It's like some FERPA thing, right? I'm fine. Mishtabeach lehu Reb Avahu lemini Rav Safra do'anim gadohu. Reb Avahu tells the minim. What are minim? What? Louder. Early Christians, right? In the bracha of Lamalshinim, Rav Salvechik felt you have to have the word Laminim in that bracha, because that bracha is about the early Christians who are genetically, biologically, halachically, probably Jewish. So Rav Avahu tells the Minim about Rav Safra that Rav Safra is an Adam Gadol, that Rav Safra is a great guy, meaning he's a big Talmud Chacham. Shavkulei michsar ditleisar shenin. So they don't make him pay taxes for 13 years. The Gemara at the beginning of Baba Basra tells us that Talmidei Chachamim don't have to pay taxes. If only the IRS would know, it would be amazing. But, okay, so that's what happens, right? They say that Rav Safra is a Talmud Chacham, and he doesn't pay taxes for 13 years. Yom Echad Ashkechu, one day they find him, Amrulei Ksiv. They quote a pasuk in Amos, Rach Eschem Yadati Mikom Mishpachos Hadama, Alkein Efkod Aleichem Es Kol Avonoseichem. Ammo says that I know you very well, or I love you, and that's why I punish you for all your sins. And the question that the men, that this early Christian asked of Safra is, Mad isle sisya birachme masikle? If you have some hatred, you throw it against your friend. I love you. Rak eschem yadati, right? The word yada in biblical Hebrew means love. V'ha'adam yada eschava ishto, right? The word yada means love. So the Navi is saying, I love you, therefore I punish you for all your chatoim. So Frek the men, he asks him, if you love him, why are you throwing all of your hate against him? V'lo amar lohu v'lo midi. So Rav Safra doesn't answer anything. So Ramule Sudra Bitsavre, they take the Sudra and they put it on his neck, the Kamitsarule. A Sudra is like a kerchief, right? And they put it on his neck and they start being Mitsa'er him. The Gemara at the beginning of Kedushin tells us that the sign of a Talmud Chacham is that a Talmud Chacham wears the Sudra Areshe, wears the kerchief on his head, right? So they take the kerchief off Rav Safra's head and they put it on his neck as a sign, oh, you are not a Talmud Chacham. The practice in Europe used to be that they wouldn't give smicha to somebody before he was married. And they wouldn't give smicha before he's married because the expression that was written in the traditional smichas is kad paris sudra areshe, that you'll put the talus over your head. And they understood that a sudra is like a talus. The Magen Avraham quotes this in Simen Ches. And the practice was that when an unmarried person wears a talus, the unmarried person doesn't put the talus over his head. Right? So in certain communities, for example, in Breuers, the minhag is that only the Rav wears a talus over his head. No one else in Breuers is allowed to wear the talus over the head. If you go into Breuers, it's like a cultural experience. Like when you daven there, everyone wears the hat during davening. Only the Rav is allowed to wear his talus over his head. The same idea that comes up in this Gemara, that Rav Safra was a Rav. I think he's an Adam Gadol, so he used to wear his sudr, which equals talus, according to that Magen Avraham and Simen Ches. He wore it on his head. But now that they ask him a question about a pasuk in Amos, and he doesn't know the answer, so they take the sudr and they put it around his neck. I have to admit, one of the greatest honors I ever got in life is one time I was davening in Breuers, and they told me I was allowed to wear my talus over my head, which means that I guess they finally respected me or something like that. So they tell Rav Safra, they just take the sudra off his head, Ramule Sudra Bitsavre, they put it on his neck, and they amitza'er him, and they're chepping him, they're paining him, harassing him. So So Rav Avahu goes and he finds these minim. He finds these early Christians. How come you're bothering? Why are you starting up with Rav Safra? Right? So the minim tell Rav Avahu, hey Rav Avahu, you told us he's an Adam Gadol. What type of Adam Gadol doesn't know a Beferish, a Pasuk, and Amos? Right? What type of Adam Gadol doesn't know Beferish, Pasuk, and Amos? Amar Luhu, so he answered, Amar da Amri Luhu, Bitanoi, Bikroi, Mi Amri Luhu. I only said that he knows Mishnayos. He doesn't know Psukim, right? When Amar da Amri Luhu, when did I say it about Tanoi, about Mishnayos? Bikroi, Mi Amri Luhu. I didn't say anything about Psukim. Wow. So he's a yeshiva bachar. Yeshiva guys are known not to know Tanakh. Is that a correct assessment? Right? Like, so Amrule, they say, Maishna atun diaditun. How come you guys know? How come you know? In other words, the minim ask Rabbi Avahu, how come you and your chevra know the psukim? Amar lahu. So he says, Anadishrichin gabechon raminon anaf shenema einin. We who frequent you, we who hang around with you, the minim, we are raminan anafshin, we put it on ourselves, uma'ainin, we put it on ourselves to pay attention to the psukim, inhu lo ma'aini, but they are not ma'ayin in the psukim. Meaning, Right? Rabbi Abahu says, yeah, I know psukim, but that's only because I hang out with you meanim. But they, the real rabbinic scholars, like Reb Safra, they never pay attention to psukim. Now, this makes sense when you realize that the meanim, as early Christians, are always trying, I don't know how to say it in English, but to upschlug the Jews based on psukim, no? If you go to a baseball game, you always see, like, some scripture from Isaiah 53. Now, it's always hanging up behind home plate, right? And they always quote these psukim, right? John, whatever, and 2 Corinthians, right? They always have, like, those verses hanging up. Anyone know what I'm talking about? They just have, like, the Mari Makomis. They assume that you know the psukim. Right? Says Rabbi Avahu, yeah, I know psukim because I hang around with the meanim. But Reb Safra doesn't hang around with the meanim, therefore he doesn't know. So, Amrulei Leimolon At. So they say to Rabbi Avahu, so you tell us the pshat in the pasuk. What does Amos mean when he says, I love you, therefore I punish you for all your averis? Amar Lahu, Em Shalachom Melsho Lamaha Dover Dome, Le Adam Shenosha Mishne B'nei Adam, Echad Ohavo, Ve'echad Sono. A person is owed money from two people. One is his friend, and the other is his enemy. Oh, havo niframi menu ma'at ma'at. Son o niframi menu bevas achas. Right? If two people owe me $100,000 each, so the guy who I love, I'm going to say, yeah, you'll pay me up $100,000, right? Like a Polish lottery, $1 a year for 100,000 years. But the guy who I hate, I'll collect the money right away. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, I know you. Right, I love you, Klai Yisrael. Therefore, I will get all of your averis over time. Right, that's the way Rabbi Avahu explained the pasuk. This is a beautiful and interesting Gemara. Now, Tosfos in Bava Basra doesn't really quote this Gemara, but if I'd be Tosfos, I would have quoted this Gemara. What does Tosfos in Bava Basra say on Kuf Yud Gimel? Any of you look this up? Didn't get there. Okay. So Tosfos in Bava Basra develops a theory that rabbis didn't know psukim. How? Right? That the Chachamim did not know psukim. That's what Tosfos in Bava Basra Kuf Yud Gimel develops. And Tosfos proves this from a Gemara in Bava Kama on Daf Nun Hei. The Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Nun Hei talks about one of the Amoraim asked another Amora, how come it says Tov in the second Dibros and it doesn't say Tov in the first Dibros?
Well, you said
Bava Kama Nun Hei. Bava Kama 55, Nun Hei, right? And it's Bava Basra that Tosfos Kuf Yud Gimel. So Tosfos and Bava Basra and Kuf Yud Gimel quotes from a Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Nun Hei, where one of the Amoraim says to another Amora, how come in the... Remember, there are two sets of Aseres HaDibros, right? There's Parashas Yisro and Parashas Vayeschanan. How come in the second Dibros of Vayeschanan says Tov, and in the first Dibros it doesn't say Tov? So the Amora said to him, I don't understand. How come you're asking me how come it says Tov? You should ask me, does it say Tov? Because I don't know if it says Tov. So Tosfos jumps up and down, spits one of nickels, like, what the heck's going on? You don't know Psukim. So Tosfos says, in Hochenami, the Amoraim did not know Psukim. Wow. Right? You didn't realize how yeshivish they were. Right? Not only did they not know Psukim in Amos, they don't know Psukim in Chumash. Now, this is a Tosfos that's hard to believe, no? Like, we generally assume that Talmidei Chachamim, right, Rashi quotes Al HaTorah, Vayiteno Moshe Kechaloso Ledaber Elov, right, that just like a Kala has to be Mekushetes B'chof Dalet Kishutin, so a Talmud Chacham has to be Mekushat B'chof Dalet Svarim. No? By the way, does anyone have any idea what the 24 Kishutin of a Kala were? No idea, but someone should try to figure it out. It's an interesting thing to investigate. But there are 24 Svarim of Tanakh, and you have to know all 24 Svarim.
It's like diamonds on a crown or something.
Maybe. It sounds like it's 24 different, like, things. I don't know.
In the Middle Eastern cultures, like, there weddings, they have, like, just parties of, like, adorning the bride. She's, like, millions of...
Right. Something, but apparently, according to Chazal, there's 24 things that they wore. Which is interesting. I don't know what any of it means.
Yeah, my sister said she made a CMO Tanakh for her wedding because of that
festival. It's a beautiful idea. You have to know Tanakh. Right? Rabbi Wurzberger, who was the Rav of my show when I was growing up, used to tell me that I have to learn Tanakh, because if not, I'll be a Talmud Chacham D'Rabbanon, but I'm a Aretz D'Oraisa. That was his expression. It's very important to know Tanakh, no? You got to know Tanakh. You're not going to disagree with this, are you?
No, I'm saying, good. How could you say that they don't know Tanakh if they just always quote Tanakh?
So, we see many Amorim always quote Tanakh, but apparently there were different groups of Amorim. Some Amorim knew Tanakh, and other Amorim didn't know Tanakh. The Gemara in Sota, for example, tells us about how different Amorim would walk in to a Beis Medrash, and one of them would say Halacha, another one would say Nagarata. And the ones who said Agarata knew Tanakh, and the ones who said Halacha didn't know Tanakh. That's the way Tosfos in Bava Basra is saying it. And they're proving it from that Gemara in Bava Kamma. Now, Rashi says you have to know Tanakh. What's going on? So I brought over here tonight this little book by Reb Ruvi Margolios called Hamikra V'Hamasor. I could leave it with you because I'm never going to read it again. I want it back at some point, but if you want to read the first like 3-4 essays in this book, deal with this question. What do you mean Talmid HaChomim don't know Tanakh? Well, you didn't know that Dibros Shneos have the word Tov and Dibros Rishonos don't have the word Tov? What's going on? So Reb Ruvi Margolios, by the way, Reb Ruvi Margolios was a fascinating person. He was the librarian in Hebrew U, and he was a genuine Talmud Chacham. He was the brother-in-law of the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Reb Yitzchak Kulitz, one of Saba's friends. And so Reb Ruvi Margolios has an essay where he argues that maybe the question in the Gemara Bava Kamma is not about whether it says Tov and Dibros Shneos and not say Tov and Dibros Rishonos, but maybe the idea is Azoi. When we speak about how there are two sets of Aseres Hadibros, Yesh Lachkar, are the two sets of Aseres Hadibros the same text? Or are they different texts? Shomar V'Zachar B'Dibur Echad. No? We say that every Friday night. What does that mean? Does that mean that the Luchos said Shamar, and it was, right, that Luchos Rishonos said Zachar Ziyam HaShabbos, and Luchos Shneos said Shamar Ziyam HaShabbos? Is it a different text? Or maybe the Pshat is, it's like a Kriyuk Siv. Right? Maybe the Pshat in Luchos Shneos is that it's the same exact text as Luchos Rishonos, just you're supposed to read it. Like, it's a fundamental question. What was on the Luchos, no? What was the Nusach on the Luchos? So Reb Ruvi Margolios understands that that's what's going on in the Gemara in Bava Kamma. He understands that when the Gemara says, Tish Adma, right? When you're asking me why it says Tov, ask me if it says Tov, he's saying, yeah, the question is, does it say Tov on the Luchos or not? That's his understanding. And his understanding is that although Tosfos in Bava Basra says that the Chachamim didn't know Tanakh, and they didn't know, certain Chachamim did not know Psukim. And although our Gemara, on page 12 in this book, he quotes our Gemara, though our Gemara sounds like Rav Safra didn't know Psukim, maybe the Pshat is Hazai. Rav Safra knew Psukim, of course. But Rav Safra feels, I'm dealing with Minim, I'm dealing with early Christians, I'm dealing with people who are going to take anything I say in the Pasuk, and they'll distort it, they'll turn it, they'll shift it back and forth. So why get involved and why tell them what I think the Pshat and the Pasuk and Amos is, when in reality, anything I'll say, they'll just find a way of slugging up. They'll just destroy it. So therefore, I'm not going to say anything. It's not that Rav Safra did not know Tanakh. That's what Reb Ruvi Margolios argues. Again, there is a school of Bible scholars who contend that the rabbinites did not know Tanakh, and hence today's scholarship is able to arrive at the correct text better than rabbinic Judaism, because today's scholars care more about it than the rabbis do, etc. Reb Ruvi Margolios wrote this book basically to refute Bible scholarship. And one of the ways you start by refuting Bible scholarship is you start by saying, well, the Bible scholars argue that we see from the Gemara that they didn't know Tanakh. So therefore, maybe we're better off than they are. And then maybe the conclusions that Chazal have are all wrong. He's very traditional. He wants to defend the traditional Mahalach. Hi.
But the difference of the question makes sense, like about the Aser and Dibro, but it doesn't make sense in terms of the rabbi's response.
So the response is, in that Gemara, actually, in that Gemara, it does make sense, right? What was the response in that Gemara?
Why are you asking me
if it says Tov? Ask me if it says Tov. What? Asking why it says Tov? Ask me if it says Tov. In other words, he's saying, why are you asking a question as to why? Right? You should ask a more fundamental question about what was the text in Luchos Shneels. Is it the text the same as Luchos Rishonos or not? That is a very important question to think about. What was the text of Luchos Shneels versus the text of Luchos Rishonos? I don't know if that's discussed here in the Intro to Bible, but it is an interesting question nonetheless. So far, so good? So, again, if you're interested in further Mari Makomos in this question as to whether the Amoraim knew Psukim, so the Stechemer is like an encyclopedia, Marechas Aleph, Os Chaf Aleph, and the Stechemer in Marechas Aleph, Os Rish Tzadi Tes, has a longer discussion about this question with like all the Marim Makomas that you could ever be interested in as to whether the Chachamim actually knew Tanakh. So far, so good? Okay. Then, let's do the next Gemara. Second line into the very wide lines. Amar Reb Abba Bar Kahana. Right, this is Avram Avinu famously is arguing with Ribono Shel Olam about how come you're going to kill stone, right? It's a famous episode in the Chumash, in Parshas Vayera. So I'm Avram L'chnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. Chulin L'cha me'asos kadover hazeh lohamis tzadik im rasha. Right, it should be chulin for you. Remember, the Ribono Shel Olam is the ultimate in Kedusha. Anything that is chulin is like bad for the Ribono Shel Olam. Chulin is the opposite of Kedusha. So Avraham Avinu says to Ribono Shel Olam, how can you kill a tzaddik with a rasha? So for Akhtimah, v'lo, you can't. The Pasuk says, v'chrati memcha tzaddik v'rasha. So Gemara answers, oh, that's one about tzaddik she'eno gamor. Aval b'tzaddik gamor, lo. Right? Meaning, right? You can only say, v'chrati memcha tzaddik v'rasha by tzaddik she'eno gamor. If someone is a tzaddik gamur, a complete tzaddik, so then Avram Avinu is arguing with HaKadosh Baruch, you can't kill a complete tzaddik as collateral damage for a community of all Rishayim. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? V'haksib, umi mikdashai techalu, v'tani Rev Yosef, al-tikri mi mikdashai el-mim kudashai, el-abnei onim shekaimu asatoria me'alaf atof. The Gemara says that there are Jews who are mekayim kol haTorah me'alaf ad tof, and still mi mikdashai techalu, that they will be destroyed with Yerushalayim. So my answer is no. These people are not tzaddikim gemurim because hayu b'yodam limchos v'lo michu. They could have protested about the averas and they didn't. So there are two things I want to point out on this Gemara. This Gemara interestingly says that Avram Avinu is arguing remember, Avraham Avinu is like bargaining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like an Arab shuk type of experience. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, right? They're like, whatever. They're bargaining. So what's the bargaining that Avraham Avinu is doing? Avraham Avinu is saying, you can't kill these people because they are tzaddikim gemurim. Avraham is arguing that he's going to find 10 tzaddikim gemurim b'toch ha'ir. Now, Rav Schechter always points out that the Medrash on these psukim has a different approach than this Gemara. This Gemara is saying that according to Avraham Avinu, he's arguing that the tzaddikim are tzaddikim gemurim. If you look in the Medrash Rabbah, in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Memtes, Ustes, 49:9. So the Medrash Rabbah says that the tzaddikim, that would protect an entire city. Remember, Avraham Avinu was arguing that all of Sodom should be spared because of these tzaddikim. The Medrash Rabbah calls these tzaddikim, this is the Lashon HaMedrash, tzaddikim nivli. Right? Tzaddikim nivli means that these are like tzaddikim who are like nevelas. They're like lower level tzaddikim. They are like corpses of tzaddikim. Now, the Sfas Emes develops a theory that why is Avraham Avinu asking for tzaddikim nivlim, for these lower level tzaddikim? The Sfas Emes in Tainus on Daf Chaf Aleph on the Beis. By the way, who is the Sfas Emes? What? The Sfas Emes is the third Gera Rebbe, no? The first Gera Rebbe is the Chidushei Harim. Right, then there's someone in between. Then there's the Sfas Emes. So the Sfas Emes quotes from his grandfather, quotes in the Chidushei Harim, that the Pshat in the Medrash is Hazoi. That sometimes if someone is a huge tzaddik, a complete tzaddik, so a complete tzaddik is so righteous that he or she can't protect the entire city, because the complete tzaddik is like separated from the community. But if you're tzaddiki nivli, if you are a lower level tzaddik, if you're integrated in the community somewhat, then you can protect the city. I think it's a davar pashut, no? There are different types of tzaddikim. You have a tzaddik like the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, and this is like the model of tzaddikim in Bnei Brak, right? To some extent, the Chazon Ish was this model. To some extent, Rebbe Yoshev Zichrono Livracha was this model. It's the type of tzaddik who just sits in his Dalet Amis, learns all day. People might come to him to ask shaylos, but it's not really integrated in the community. Then you have a tzaddik like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zichrono Livracha, who was completely involved in everything. He's traveling around the country saying shiurim. If you want to speak with him, you get a ride in the car between this place and that place, no? The type of tzaddik who's like constantly running around, always involved in different things. Now, obviously, if you're constantly running around, you're not going to have time to become the most super of duper of tzaddikim, because you're not going to be studying Torah all day. You're going to be running around and dealing with people and getting involved in communal issues and stuff. Says the Sfas Emes, a very nice Hasidish Torah, that Avraham Avinu is saying that I'm not looking for the greatest tzaddik, because the greatest tzaddik can't protect all of Sodom. Because the greatest tzaddik will have no impact on Sodom. I'm asking for a lower level tzaddik, the type of tzaddik who's involved in the community, who can save the entire community. Now, our Gemara is using a lashon tzaddik gomor versus tzaddik she'eino gomor, which isn't the same lashon as the Medrash, but you get the impression from the Medrash that Avraham Avinu is asking for less perfect tzaddikim, and you get an impression from our Gemara that Avraham Avinu is asking for more perfect tzaddikim. Shani?
That's what I was going to say, that like, I wouldn't call those kind of people tzaddikim nivlei, I would call them more like
so,
a nicer term.
But again, there are different, you see, it's an interesting thing to think about, what's your model of a tzaddik? It's a good question to ask someone on a date. Is your mom attack someone like Rib Aryeh Levine? Someone who mamish was running around to all the prisons taking care of all the people? Or is the model of a tzaddik someone who just learns? My guess is that the Yeshiva University model of a tzaddik is closer to the Sfas Emes tzaddik nivli. Right? We don't respect as much the tzaddik who sits in a little vinkel, who's just in his corner doing, right? I think that's not what we respect as much, which, again, is fair. Now, Rav Schechter tells a story that a few years ago, they had, what was it called, Operation Desert Storm, the United States attacked, remember, Iraq attacked Kuwait, and then Iraq is shooting Scud missiles at Eretz Yisrael, at Israel. So at that time, YU decided to send a group of students to Israel during the Gulf War. They called it Operation Torah Shield. They went and they studied Torah, right, in Israel during the war. So Rav Schechter was spending the Shabbos during the Gulf War in the YU Israel campus, you know, where you probably all registered, down at the bottom of nothing, like near Michlala. Whatever, the only way to get there is like this one half of a bus. You've been there, right? So Rav Schachter spending Shabbos down in the YU Israel Kolal, and a bunch of Rav Schachter's former students who are already learning in the Mirror Yeshiva. This sometimes happens to YU guys, that they pick up and they like study in the Mirror later on. So they came to spend Shabbos with Rav Schachter in Gross, in YU in Israel. So Rav Schachter asked them, he said, you know, Torah is supposed to protect us, so how come you're spending time with me? You should be with your Rosh Yeshiva in the Mirror, there's such big Talmidei Chachamim. So one of the Talmidim said, no, but Rebbe, you told us the Sfas Emes and Tainis, that a lower level tzaddik can protect people, a higher level tzaddik can't. So that's like the most backhanded compliment you could ever give somebody. But Rav Schachter actually liked it. He's like, oh, beautiful, thank you so much. Okay, very nice, I don't know. So that's the story. This Gemara does not sound exactly like that. Good? Let's go weiter. Now, this Gemara has a line that the reason why they're not tzaddikim gemurim is because haya biyadam limchos. Frektos is akasha. What do you mean haya biyadam limchos? What do you mean they should have protested? Don't we say mutav shu shog again the ayuhu mizidin? Right? Tosis asks a question that we say that it's better to violate inadvertently rather than violating deliberately. And if you protest, if you tell people the halacha, so then they're going to end up violating deliberately, so don't protest. So that's Tosis's question. So Tosis answers that we only say mutav shu shog again bedavar sheyadua shelo yikablo im yimchu. Who wants to explain to me Tosis's answer? Shani, you're making all the comments today, so I'm going to call on Talia.
That you only say that it's better that they do it not deliberately, and you shouldn't rebuke them if you know that they won't accept your...
But if we know that they won't accept. Now, does Tosis tell me how I know that they won't accept? No. Right? So, we already know the tricks. What do you do when you have a Tosis? You look at the parallel Tosis and the Tosis Rabbi Noel Chanan, right? And Tosis Rabbi Noel Chanan has a slightly different wording. Tosis Rabbi Noel Chanan says, "Hainu kigon shegilu lanu de'ein mekablam mimenu." Kigon shegilu lanu means they told us, right? Sometimes you have somebody who says, "Rabbi, Rebbitzin, whatever, I'm not going to listen to anything you say." According to Tosis, that's the only time you say mutashu shog again. Right? That's why Tosfos Rabbeinu Chanan phrases it. Shegilu lanu, they reveal to us, they tell us that they are not going to listen. So far, so good? And Tosfos, in every location where Tosfos discusses mutav shu shogigen, in every single location that Tosfos discusses this, Tosfos says the same type of distinction. That what matters is whether or not they will listen. If there is a chance that they will listen to us, do you have to give a mussar?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? According to Tosfos, we only say mutav shu shogigen if it's barur, right? If it's absolutely clear. If it's not absolutely clear, we don't say mutav shu shogigen. Yeah.
Wait, just to clarify, there could be a case where you are not mochad, but you could still be a tzaddikah. As in, if you know they won't listen.
Exactly. In other words, if there is a chance that they'll listen, you have to be mochad. And if you're not mochad, you're not a tzaddik gomor. But if they will definitely not listen to you, I'm still a tzaddik gomor if I'm not mochad. Absolutely. That's what emerges from Tosis when I put it all together. Right? By the way, this is a very important thing in terms of the mitzvah of tochacha. When do you have to give people mussar? And when do you say mutav shu shog again? I'm not going to tell you. Like, do I tell people in my shul that, we'll talk about this in a few minutes, that the Erev is down? Or do I tell people, do I make an announcement that the Erev does not extend into Fort Tryon Park? Do you make these announcements or not? If people are definitely not going to listen, do you make an announcement? According to us, no. You only make an announcement if there's a chance that they will listen. So far, so good? Let me hear from Liat, because Shani, I'm punishing you because you spoke so many times beginning to share, what?
I know, I have so much things to say.
Okay, first we'll hear from Liat, then we'll hear from you. Not a problem.
What about, like, when after the shul would potentially listen?
Oh, So we're going, hold that question for like 3 minutes. Right? Liat is asking, let's say half of the shul will listen, or potentially will listen, and yet also have some people who are, come on, Erev, Manhattan's an island, what's the big deal, right? They're definitely not going to listen. You know those Manhattan is an island Jews, right? So what do you do in that case? Hold that question, we'll talk about it in 3 minutes. Shani?
My question was, wouldn't it be different for a rabbi to do something opposed to someone?
So maybe, one could argue that maybe there's a difference for a rabbi because the rabbi has a responsibility to teach Torah. That's what I get paid for. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva discusses that angle. You have to wait 4 minutes for that.
Oh.
So far, so good?
To distinguish kind of like between a shei baal ta'aseh, meaning like a los aseh and an aseh situation, meaning like in a situation where you know that they wouldn't do an aseh, then you wouldn't tell them because that they're being like, I guess there certainly is a possible distinction. I don't know of anyone who makes such a distinction.
You see, in the case when the Erev is down, right, so if they'll violate, they'll be violating b'kum v'aseh. Right? What about a case where their violation will be Sheva al Ta'aseh? That's what you're asking. Maybe there, you don't have the same mitzvah of Tochacha. Maybe. It's something to think about. I don't have any evidence one way or another as of now. I'd have to look into that question. Now, what's interesting is that the Rashba in the real sugya of Mutav Shu Shogigin is found in Beitza on Daf Lamed. No? The Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed speaks about the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And the Gemara says it, that there were women who would be eating Achli V'Shasu Ad She'Chashecha. They'd eat and drink until it gets dark. In other words, that they'd be eating and drinking even though there's a mitzvah Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Right? So the Rashba deals with like a technical question, a girsa question. Is the Gemara talking about that the women eat and drink before dark, during the time of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim? Or maybe the Gemara is talking about that the women eat and drink after it's dark already, meaning after it's the real Makoi, after it's already Yom HaKippurim. Right? That's the Girsa issue that the Rashba addresses. And the Rashba is quoting from the Baal HaItor that there's a distinction within Mutav Shu Shogigin between two cases. What does the Rashba say? Michal, I haven't heard from you yet today. I know, I'm mean and calling people, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, it's just like 3 weeks ago. So after, like, we just like did this Rashba 3 weeks ago, but... Oh, yes, what's...
What does the Rashba say?
Which one is it?
Here. Do you want me to just read the whole thing?
You could read it or just paraphrase it. I'm more interested in the paraphrase than the actual words, although there's one point I want to make in the actual Lashon of the Rashba.
What? Lo amrel l'mashayinu lo amrel Torah?
Yes. Right? The Rashba is quoting from the notes point that he's quoting from the Baal HaItor, that there's a difference between Davar HaMefurash Batorah versus not Mefurash Batorah. Meaning, says the Rashba, that if it's actual Yom HaKippurim, so of course you have to tell the women. Again, I don't know why the Gemara is assuming it's the women who eat, whatever, but of course you have to tell the women, stop eating, it's Yom Kippur! Of course you have to stop. Right? It's Mefuresh Bekra. Mefuresh Bekra, you always have to say something. We never say Mutav Shu Shogigin on something that's Mefuresh Bekra. That's what the Rashba argues. Now, how can we understand this Rashba? Why is it? By the way, Tosfos never once makes this distinction between Dover Mefuresh Bekra and not Mefuresh Bekra. For Tosfos, the only distinction is will they listen or they won't listen. Right? And we could argue that for Tosfos, they'll listen to us saying, it's Yom Kippur. They'll go, oh, Yom Kippur. But you say, Tosefus Yom Kippur. Right? So for Tosfos, we could say the same distinction that Tosfos makes, that whether it's Barer or not, but that could answer the Girsa issue in the Gemara. But Tosfos never once makes this distinction between Dabar Mefurash B'Torah and not Mefurash B'Torah. The Rashba makes the distinction. Now, there are two ways to understand this Rashba. There are two ways to understand why there would be a difference between Dabar HaMefurash B'Kra and Dabar that's not Mefurash B'Kra.
I'm going
to
look back in.
What? You can look inside. I think the Rashba inside tells us. You can pass it around, like... I think there's only one Rashba in the whole base measure. Huh? No, whatever.
If it's not the first Torah, you could say that, like, maybe they don't know, so that's why they're doing it.
So one approach that the Rashba, that we could take in the Rashba, is that maybe they don't know. Meaning, if something is Mefurash B'Torah, they definitely know it. Nothing to talk about. And therefore, we don't say Mutav Shu Shogigen. I only say Mutav Shu Shogigen if they might genuinely be Shogig. But no one is such a Shogig that they don't know that there's Yom Kippur. Everybody knows there's Yom Kippur. There's no such thing as being Shogig about Yom Kippur. Everybody knows it. That's one approach to take within the Rashba. And I have to admit that if you read the Rashba, his language sounds like this approach. The difference between Dabar HaMefurash B'Kra and Dabar She'eino Mefurash B'Kra is, does everyone know it? Right?
Doesn't the Mishnah Berurah say that if it's explicit in the Torah, then we consider it's already bemazed? That's why you're supposed
that
to...
That is this idea. Right, the Mishnah Berurah is going, the Mishnah Berurah is explaining the Ramah, who's quoting this Rashba B'Shem Bava Yidur, and if it's Mefurash B'Kra, we know they're B'mezid. But by the way, according to this approach, the issue at hand is not whether it's a Pasuk in Chumash. The issue at hand is it something that everybody knows? There's certain parts of Judaism which might be Midrashim, but everybody knows it. The fact that Avraham Avinu was thrown into Kivshan Ha'ish, everybody knows it. You learned it in nursery school. The fact that you have to cover mirrors during Avelos, everybody knows it. It's not Mefurash B'Kra, right? One could argue that Mefurash, according to this approach within the Rashba, would extend even to Dinim D'Rabbanan, so long as it's the type of thing that I know, everybody knows. There is no plausible deniability. You can't say you don't know it, because everybody knows that. Come on, right? This guy on, what's it called, with the Erev hat knows it. Everybody knows it. It's well known. That's one approach. The other approach is a little more razzle-dazzle. Another approach within the Rashba is that there is a chumrah because it is written by Pasuk. We spoke about this in the shir at one time, no? We spoke about, I think... something that's befamish in the pasuk, right? Obviously, it means it. Obviously, it's there. It's more chamor. Now, we spoke about in the context of trying to be machmir for something that's written in the pasuk, but there's a taz in three places. In Yerideya Kuf Yud Zayin, Chayshem Mishpat Simen Beis, and Arichayim Tav Kuf Pei Zayin. Let me give you what the Taz says. Right? It's on the, you're getting on the tape.
Right?
We'll talk about Arichayim Tav Kuf Pei Zayin. That's the easiest one. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, do I blow the shofar on Shabbos?
No.
Why? You might carry. Right? When the bris milah falls out on Shabbos, do I do the bris milah on Shabbos?
Yes.
I am a carry. How come the chachamim don't make an iser to do a bris milah on Shabbos because I might carry? This is the Taz's kasha. Tosfos on Kuf Lamed in Shabbos asks a kasha along these lines also, but the Taz asks it in a very sharp sort of way. How come we don't ask a bris milah on Shabbos? because you might carry. The same as I aser Megillah, Lulav, Shofar, and Shabbos, you might carry. Aser Bris Milah and Shabbos. So the Taz answers that, you know what, you can't aser Bris Milah and Shabbos because it's a Beferish Pasuk. B'yom Hashmini Yimo B'sar Al Aso. Chazal understand B'yom Afilu B'Shabbos. And Bris has to happen on Shabbos because it's a Beferish Pasuk, and the rabbis have no authority to aser something that's a Beferish Pasuk. There's a chumrah because it's a befeirish apostle. This is another approach to understanding this Rashba. I don't think his language means this way, but years ago, I used to oversee a program in yeshiva called Contemporary Halacha, and one time Rabbi Rosenzweig gave a shir for us about Mutav Shu Shog again, and Rabbi Rosenzweig developed the idea that we can understand the Rashba possibly based on this concept in the Taz, Tav Kuf Pei Zayin, and elsewhere, where the Taz develops this theory that a davar mefurash bikra has a greater chumrah than if it's not mefurash bikra. And maybe that's what the Rashba means, that it's a more serious aveira. In other words, I wouldn't say mutav shu shog again on an aveira that is yehar vayavar, chas v'shalom. It's a very serious aveira. If it's mefurash bikra, I can't say mutav shu shog again because the aveira is more severe. It's not because they certainly know it. Now, according to this second approach, that's based on the Chumrah, obviously, if I have a Din D'Rabbanan that everybody knows, the fact that everybody knows it won't change anything. Because it's not a Aveira Chamura. It's not a severe Aveira, no? Oh. Now, did any of you have a chance to read this article of mine? Okay, so maybe next time we learn, we'll discuss this. I wrote an article in the RJJ Journal, volume 47, about do you announce when an Erev is down on Shabbos? And they speak a little bit about Mutav Shu Shog again. I'll try. Do you have the RJJ Journal here? You don't have it in the Beit Midrash? I think it's online, but if not, I'll email you. I couldn't find it on my computer today. Maybe I wrote on a different computer. I have no recollection. But I could try to find the article and email it to the class just to read two pages in the article where I deal with the question that Liat addressed about what happens when you have a community. Some people will listen, some people won't listen. That's a very important question within Tosfos. How the Rashba factors in is also very important. So, B'li Neder, next time we learn on Wednesday, we'll talk about that. On the Tosfos Rega Kememra, I gave you an Aruch HaShulchan to look at. If you are interested, there is also a tshuva of the Kozhe Glover. The Kozhe Glover was the last Rosh Yeshiva in Chachmei Lublin before the yeshiva was destroyed. And if you went on birthright, like you go to Chachmei Lublin, it's like a thing. So the last Rosh Yeshiva in Chachmei Lublin was the Kozhe Glover. He has a tshuva about how come Hasidim eat su'udas Purim after it's Purim, and how come they send Mishloach Manos after it's Purim. The Kozhe Glover's whole approach to Judaism was to try to defend every Hasidic practice that we would consider to be a bit strange, and he bases it on this Taisus. So we'll talk about that. There's a parallel Taisus in Brachas Dav Zayin that's worth looking at. And the Aruch HaShulchan, and keep on going in the Gemara, and I'll give you a few more Maror Kamos for next time you learn as well. Sounds like a plan? Okay. Shkoyach, thank you.